And tonight we're going to look at our last question. By faith, I give him control.
Amen.
By faith. Do you know that everybody here tonight, somebody is controlling you? Not something, somebody. A lot of people say, it ain't things that control you, it's people that control. And everybody here tonight, one of these three is in control of your life. I promise you. And I ain't talking about saved or lost. I'm talking about somebody's in control. Somebody is dictating why you do what you do. Somebody's dictating the decisions you make, the choices you make, whether you're happy, whether you're sad. Somebody's dictating that. And everybody here tonight's going to say, well, the Lord's in control of my life. But in a few minutes, we're going to put you to a test. And we're going to see who's really in control. But tonight, you need to see one of these three is in control. Number one, I would say 90% of our people sitting in our churches, this person's in control. It's yourself. Self is in control. And I'm afraid that in most of our churches, our preaching has turned into catering to a self-God mentality. Most people come in church, they sit down, and they're saying, all right, feed me. And they're saying this, singers, make me feel good. Entertain me. And we're looking for a church. What do they want? When they walk in the back door, what do you have for me? It's all about me. It's me. It's me. And we've been turned into a very me mentality society, have we not? We go to eat, serve me what I want, when I want, how I want, as fast as I want. Not only that, now our phones have made me mentality even more at our fingertips. I mean, does any of you ever get stressed when the internet goes down? All of a sudden, oh, we just go crazy, do we not? And imagine our forefathers thinking, why are you so stressed? And because the internet's not working. It's the craziest thing in the world. But I'm just like them. But we've turned into a me society. It's about us, us, us. And we're bringing that in our church. Until we take self off the throne and put God on the throne, I'm afraid we will never see what we're thinking of in yesteryears. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You know what the truth is? That I'm a nobody and he's everybody. That's the truth. Spirit means from the bottom of your heart, with every fiber of your being, we're giving him our all. I believe if a crowd was to get together and realize that we're a nobody and he's everybody and we give him our all, we'd see heaven come down. Matter of fact, that's what heaven is. Did you know that? You can read Revelation chapter 5 and that crowd's gathering around the throne and those elders and all the saints and the angels and everybody's gathering around the throne and they're only looking at one person. And they're hollering, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. To him be glory, to him be honor, to him be power. It's all about him, him, him. When we get to heaven, when we start singing together around the throne, you're not going to be looking at the person beside you, the person behind you. We're going to be focusing on him. And that's what heaven is going to be. Amen. So, number one, self is in control. Or number two, people are in control. Now, a lot of us live our lives for the praise of men. Or we live our life to please somebody else, whether it's a family member, whether it's friends, whatever it is. But we begin to make decisions based on what others tell us or what others' reactions will be. And it's a miserable place to be.
Yeah.
And don't sit there and be so self-righteous tonight. We've all been there. Most teenagers live in that world because their social life is there. It's their world. And all of a sudden they realize, you know, that we make decisions based on what others think. Until they realize they got to be like Peter, they got to stand and say, we ought to obey God rather than men. Until they get to that place, they're a puppet on the string. And let me help you with something tonight. If you're living to please your children, you're living to please your spouse, you're living to please a church member, you're living to please somebody, let me help you with something. You will never please another human being. It ain't going to happen. You say, how do you know that? Because the eyes of man's never satisfied. See that? All right, so then the third person is in control is where I want to challenge you to go to tonight. Let's let God control. God's got to be in control. We got to let him lead and let him guide. You say, what's that got to do with faith? Well, I can't see him and I can't hear him, but yet he's leading the way. There's only one way that can happen. Book of Galatians teaches us about this spirit-controlled, this spirit-filled life. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20, plainly tells us, and it uses the word faith in there, since that's our theme this week. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the what? By the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And you turn over there, and you go over to Galatians chapter number 5 tonight, and that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to talk about walking in the Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit leading us through our life, through our days, through our decisions. It's a life that's lived by faith. I don't live it by the flesh, I live it by the faith of the Son of God. And the Holy Spirit is leading, He's controlling. And let me help you something tonight before we go any further. Being indwelled by the Holy Spirit, being baptized by the Holy Spirit, and being filled by the Holy Spirit is not the same thing. The night I got saved, the Holy Spirit moved inside me. Romans plainly tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Now, the night I got saved, I didn't realize what was going on. I didn't realize, nobody told me about the Holy Spirit, but he was there. Because the Holy Spirit never points to himself, he points to Christ. So I was just looking at him, but as soon as I trusted Christ, the Holy Spirit moved in on the inside of me. That's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Not only that, some people say, well, what's the baptism of the Holy Spirit? It's the same thing. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says, we've all been baptized into one body. By who? By the Holy Spirit of God. Baptized doesn't have anything to do with water there. Baptized means to put into, to immerse. You know how I got in the body of Christ? The Holy Spirit put me in there. And the Holy Spirit moved in on the inside. So that all happened the night we got saved. You said, I didn't realize all that was going on. Ain't a person I know ever realized that was going on the night they got saved. Something you learned after the fact. You know how you know he's in there? Because now every time I do something wrong, he says, hey. Something ain't right there. And he leads and he guides. But then we go to this thought, that being filled with the Holy Spirit. Boy, there's a lot of confusion about that. And there's a whole lot of misconceptions about that. So tonight, that's what we're talking about. Being filled really means he's in control. That means he's in control. He's leading, he's guiding, and if he's in control, now I'm walking in the Spirit. And being filled with the Spirit's not a one-time trip to the altar. Being filled with the Spirit has nothing to do with an experience, whether you're shouting, whether you're whatever you're doing, has nothing to do with that. It means he's in control. He's leading and he's guiding. How does that happen? By faith, I turn loose. The Holy Spirit's not going to make me do it. It's a command by God, be filled with the Spirit. But that command is something I have to relinquish control and let him lead. And we walk in the Spirit. And by the way, that's the greatest days on earth. That's the greatest days on earth. You'll never get any better. And you know you can be walking in the Spirit this morning, and by tonight you'll be a mess. Amen? And that's the bad thing about what goes on in church. A lot of times we think one trip to the altar, we'll fix this and be over with. Oh, but the Christian life is a day by day, hour by hour walk with God. And so we look at that tonight. We look at Galatians chapter 5. And in verse number 16, the Bible plainly says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery and fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. By the way, that's pretty much a description of our society, is it not? That's us. You know what the problem is? People are being led by the flesh and not by the Spirit. And then it goes on down, and in verse number 22, it plainly says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. Then to show you these verses coming together, what I read to you a while ago in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affection and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us walk in the Spirit.
Yeah.
And so that is what that is that is by faith, I'm letting somebody lead me that I cannot see. Somebody lead me that I cannot hear their voice with my ears. But I'm letting somebody lead me by faith. I believe that they're leading me the right way and I give them control. And that's the Holy Spirit of God. And He's also called the Spirit of Truth. Now the Holy Spirit's not a force. The Holy Spirit's not a feeling. The Holy Spirit's a person. He's a person. And the Bible says in Amos, can two walk together except they agree? Well, that means if we're walking together, then I'm in agreement with Him, a person. Come here, Brother Rick. We'll use you as a picture of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's a far fetch after last night, but anyway, we'll go with that. All right. Now, I can't see Him, but if I'm walking with Him, we're on a step-by-step journey. But here's what a lot of us don't realize. Somebody has got to be the leader. Somebody's got to be the leader. See, I'm not here. I'm here. I'm here. You say, how do you know if you're being led by the Spirit? He is the Spirit of Truth. And that way He takes the Scripture and He leads me the direction I go. Do you see that? Do you know the Holy Spirit will never tell you to do anything contrary to the Word
of God?
That's right. Never. And He leads me, and I come to a decision. I'm trying to make a decision, and all of a sudden, He will speak to me. He will lead me in the direction I need to go.
Amen.
And I live my life, and I make my decisions based on which way He's leading. And every time He says, let's go this way, and I'm like, I don't think I need to go this way, I've now separated myself.
Yes.
He's not in control. Who's in control? I'm in control. Because I've decided this is what I want to do. I want to go this way.
Yeah.
And I make a mess out of it every time.
Yeah.
Now tonight I'm challenging you. And this is a hard challenge. And I'm preaching to myself too. Walking by faith. Being led by the Holy Spirit on a day by day. Hour by hour. As we go throughout our day.
Yeah.
It's a challenge.
Yeah.
But I promise you that's the only way to please God.
Amen.
And that's the only way you're ever going to do anything for God. And last night we talked about making a difference in other people's life. You want to make another difference in other people's life? You start bearing those fruit, they'll start coming around.
Amen.
And you'll be shocked what God can do. Amen. Thank you, Brother Rick. So being led by the Spirit means He's leading and I'm following. I'm following. I'm following. Now tonight as we think about that and we go back to our verses, let's look at this. I'm going to give you a couple thoughts before we get into this, these characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. The first thing I want to show you is this. Look real close, verse 18. But if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Did you hear that? You need to circle verse 18 and you need to really hone in on this. If you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. One of the bad things we're doing in our churches is this. Watch carefully. This is the mentality that some of us get and some of us never get out of. And I lived in this for many, many years as a saved church member, very zealous, want to please God, want to serve God. But there's no joy here. Watch. Man comes down the aisle. God's convicted him. We pray with him. He gets saved. Marvelously, mightily, trust Christ. Joy overflows him. Just swells up inside of him. We pat him on the back. Send him back to his pew. Say, oh, hope to see you tonight, brother. And he comes back till Sunday night. Or he comes back whenever. He comes back to the next service. And the next thing you know, he starts developing this mentality. He's got a great zeal to please God. And then he starts developing this mentality. And we tell him, well, what you need to do is you need to make sure you read your Bible. And you need to make sure you're at church every time the doors are open. And you make sure you're at Sunday school. And you make sure you tithe. And you make sure you do this. And make sure you do that. And make sure you don't do this. And you don't do that. And you don't do this. You know what you just give him? A whole list of regulations. But the Christian life is not lived by rules and regulations. It's lived by a personal relationship. You say, but preacher, don't you think he should come to church? Don't you think he should tithe? He should, but he should do it out of a personal love.
Right.
Out of a personal love. Not a, I've got to, there's obligations and rules and regulations and all these things are on me. See, the difference between religion And being led by the Spirit is it's a relationship. And all of a sudden went, hey, listen, you show me a person that gives the first fruits in the offering plate because they have a thankful heart and they want to give back to God. That's going a whole lot further than this guy over here saying, well, I got to. I don't have a choice or God will judge me. Amen? Yeah. You show me a man that comes in church and he sits down back there and saying, glory to God, I'm glad to be here tonight. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. God's been good to me. And you show me that guy, and he's coming here, and you show me this lady over here, she's drugging here saying, well, I got to come. If I don't, they'll all think I'm a heathen. They'll think I'm a hypocrite, and they'll blah, 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 blah. And you're grumbling the whole way here. You tell me which one pleases God. They're both here outwardly, but only one is being led. You see the difference? And so here, you're not under the law, but you're led by the Spirit. And when we put people under the law, and you can put it under the law in the Baptist church all day long. All day long. And you know what that's truly? Truly that's being controlled by somebody else. And that's the definition of legalism. And first one thing you need to know about me, I loathe legalism. Because when you get a man or woman in legalism, it's hard to get them out of it. It's a mental battle that they can never come away from. And when our churches need to preach about, yes, is there holiness? Absolutely. I believe in holiness. But when holiness comes from the heart, it pleases a holy God. Amen. So we go on and look. He said, you're not under the law, you're under the Spirit. He says, Paul's trying to tell the church of Galatia, you can fulfill these things and you can please God, and it don't take me giving you the law, and it don't take me giving you these rules. What it takes is the inward influence of the Holy Spirit of God. And you go on down. Let me give you the second thing. If you see here and you look at these two lists and you put one on this side and one on the other, it's evident where you're living. When you put the works of the flesh become evident. You say, I'm not controlled by myself. Well, put yourself to the test of the Word of God. Remember what we talked about? I think it was Sunday. This is a mirror. This is a mirror. And you look in the mirror of God's Word, you can't argue with it. It tells you exactly who you are and who's in control. Amen? And so, if you look in the mirror of God's Word and it says, these works means self's in control. These things mean I'm in control. Well, it's evident who's in control. Any of you guys ever go to the... And some of you guys are going to get real nervous right now. Any of you guys ever go to the mall with your wife or go shopping with your wife and she tries an outfit on? And she looks in the mirror. And then she looks at you. And she says, am I really that big? You know what that is? You're no man's land right there, buddy. You know what? You may tell you the answer to that? Ask the mirror. The mirror don't lie. Amen? They look in the mirror and they say, do I really look like that? Hey, buddy, I'm just telling you, the mirror don't lie. The mirror is a reflection of what's going on the other side. Amen? And some people say, no, that mirror, it's tilted the wrong way. Or it's this or it's that or the other. Hey, argue all day long. Take it up with the mirror. So next time your husband's getting that position, you just say, that preacher said the mirror don't lie. That's all I can tell you. Listen to me. But the Bible tells itself that it's like a mirror. Yeah. The Word of God is like a mirror. So if I'm led by the flesh, think about this. If I'm led by the flesh, these things become evident. Look in verse 19. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Do you know how much sexual immorality is in our society today? Do you know how much sexual immorality is in our churches today? It says it's evident who's in charge. Look at descriptions or works of the flesh. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft. In other words, self's in control. It's about us. Then look in verse 20, hatred, variance, immolations, wrath, strife. You know what all that is? That's conflict between other people. Our world's full of hatred. Amen. Envying, heresy, seditions. We're full of all that fighting going on. And the Bible says that wrath and that strife, that variance, all that is the angst between us. Let me help you with something tonight. If you're mad at somebody and you're eat up with that bitterness and you're eat up with that anger and you're eat up with that, you tell me God's in control of you. There ain't no way. That's impossible. Because the Bible even says, God said, how can you say you love me and you hate your brother? It's impossible. See, God loves people. God loves people. He loves them so much He gave His only begotten Son for people. You say, but they're crazy. So are you. Amen? And so, preacher, you don't know my family. They're all nuts. You're one of them. You know what they're saying about you? You're crazy too. And so we need to realize that wrath and that strife and all that stuff, all that's proven that something's inside us that's not, it's not God leading us. It's just not. And then look at this next, these next characteristics. Look in verse 21. It says murders and drunkenness, revelings. Reveling is a party like you've never seen before. You know what our world's looking for? The next party. We live party to party to party. That's what we live for. We're looking for the next celebration, the next vacation, the next holiday. We live in weekend to weekend, event to event. And we need to call time out and realize tonight that God's still on the throne and you can have just as much joy on Tuesday as you can on Saturday. But the works of the flesh become evident. Those things start coming out. But then he goes on down to verse 22 and he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, and joy, and peace. And he goes on to list those things. And he says there in verse 22, it's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits. Fruit means it's characteristic. There's 9 characteristics of one thing. In other words, if God's in control of my life, and He's leading me, and He's guiding me, that fruit's coming out. That fruit's coming out. And you can't say, well, I have this one and this one, but I don't have this one. That fruit has 9 characteristics. And it means God's in control. And God can't be in 90% control. He's either all Lord or no Lord. And so tonight we need to see that this, what I'm preaching to you tonight, what I'm getting ready to show you, is the results of letting God control. Now, before we get into the results, let me give you this. How do you let this happen? It's just by a daily surrender to His will. And a daily surrender to His leading and to His guiding. You're not going to strive to get it. You're not going to come up with a bunch of rules to get it. It's just saying, God, not my will, but Thy will.
Yeah.
Every time I'm faced with something, every time I'm faced with trouble, every time I'm faced with a situation, every time I'm faced with a choice as I go throughout my day, if you pray 30 minutes in the morning and you don't pray the rest of the day, or I'm not trying to put you in bondage, but you don't think about it in the rest of the day, hey, God's leading you every step of the day. And there's a lot of things that come my way that if He don't control me, I'll make a mess out of it fast. All right, so it's letting Him lead and letting Him guide. And when He does that, and you do that for a sustained period of time, you're setting the environment for the fruit to grow. You're setting the environment for the fruit to grow. Now, some of you, how many of you in here raise a garden? Yeah, I know I'm in country boy town. I can tell by those veggies I ate over there. That wasn't store-bought stuff. That's good stuff. You know how a man or a woman, you know how they grow a garden? It takes patience and it takes attention. Now, I've learned this because I'm not a country boy. I'm a city boy. I never raised a garden in my life till my wife and I, we'd already had children and it's well grown, and then I had a bright idea. You know what? I think I'll go out there and just put some tomatoes in the ground. And I did that. And it was a disaster. Because you know what I did? I put them in the ground and said, now grow, big boy, and I'll be back in a few months to check you out. And I realized that didn't work out too well. You know what would make me mad? These guys would come to church and they'd have big old tomatoes or big old stuff, and they'd say, preacher, you want some tomatoes? And I was too proud to say, I tried to grow some of them myself, but I'll be glad to take yours. You know how they did it? I figured it out. Not only did they grow them, but they found some kind of irrigation system. Some of them may even have those little weeping hoses. And they got them good and watered every day. And then they'd go out there and make sure there's no weeds around them. And then this one lady gave me these big red juicy tomatoes. You know what I found out? She planted them in cow manure. That's cheating. I didn't know that. And this, you know what? It took attention. It took getting the right environment for that fruit to grow. You want to see the fruit of the Spirit in your life? You got to give it the right environment and stay there. Because if you look in John chapter 17, I believe, we got to abide. Abide. The only way you're going to bear fruit is to abide. And so you got to stay there. So tonight what I'm preaching to you It's not a quick trip to the altar. It's not a decision. It's an attitude. It's a heart. That I want God to control me every step of the way, every day. And when that happens, you'll have no choice but that fruit to come out. And as we look at these nine characteristics tonight, we need to slow down and investigate and examine our hearts and look at ourselves real carefully. It's revival. And as we do a check in a minute, we're going to see the benefits of it. But before we get to that, let's do a check and see how we're doing. If we have the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 22 says, the fruit of the Spirit, the first one is pure love. It's love. I mean, that love right there is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. But it's a choice. It's a decision. That love right there means putting others before me. Putting God before me. Matter of fact, every one of those characteristics of the works of the flesh, you could take them, and if you had true love for God and love for people, every one of them would go away. Do you know if you love God like you're supposed to, you won't have idolatry. If you love your fellow man like you're supposed to, you won't have hatred. And you won't have wrath and you won't have strife. If you trust God and believe God and you love Him and you put Him number one, then you're not going to drift into witchcraft and all that stuff. You're not going to look to drunkenness to fulfill you because God's fulfilling you.
Amen.
And so if you love God, like the Bible says, if you love Him with all your heart and you love your neighbor as yourself, pretty much fruit's going to start growing. But let's be honest tonight. God loved us and He made a choice to love us. He didn't feel like loving us. He was not moved with emotion to go to the cross. He made a hard, difficult decision to go to the cross. Yes, He was all God, but He was all man too. And He realized He knew what He was facing when He went to the cross. He was well aware that he was going to take the sin of mankind upon Him. He was getting ready to fight Satan with everything He had. He was getting ready to go through the physical torment. He was getting ready to go through the personal rejection from His own family, from His disciples, from the people He had healed, from the blind He had made to see. He's getting ready to be rejected by all mankind. And He said, I love them, and I'm doing it anyway. If you go by, you love who you feel like loving, or you love who loves you, you love who makes you happy, you have no love at all. And you certainly don't have the love of God. You have the love of the world. Everybody loves somebody that loves them. But can you love somebody who despitefully uses you and abuses you and treats you bad? That's the love of God. You say, well, that's hard for me to do. You stay in that. You just keep tending to the Holy Ghost and you let Him lead. Before long, He'll give you that kind of love. He can do that because it's supernatural. It's not in a rule. It's not in a regulation. It's in God controlling. And so the Bible says that the first fruit of the Spirit is, of course, it's love. It's the agape love. That we love out of choice. Put somebody, God before us, people before us. And the next fruit of the Spirit, the characteristic, not only love, but we have joy. Joy comes from something. Now, I've studied and read these guys and a lot of commentaries and about all of them say joy comes from the inside and happiness is from the outside. But let me help you with something. You can't separate joy and happiness. You can't. Hey, that guy scored that touchdown yesterday. He was full with joy. Right? That's the reason that when and hey, I'm a big Clemson fan, college football, and I know y'all are Tennessee people, and God will save you. God will save you. And then you'll see the right orange one day. Amen? I guess I ain't coming back next year now after all. Amen? Listen, but hey, but you know, me and my son, we go down there and watch them play, and there's 80,000 people there, and we're acting crazy, and I'm wearing my orange, and wah, 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 wah. You say it ain't very spiritual, but it sure is fun, and I'm having a big time. And every time they score a touchdown, woo! Yeah. Yeah, baby! You say, what's the matter with you? I got joy. I got joy. You say, well, that ain't the joy of the Spirit. No, it ain't. That's the joy of circumstances. Because when they lose, like Tennessee beat them last year, I was pouting. That's no joy. But the joy here is a joy that cannot be robbed. It can't be robbed. No matter what happens, it can't be robbed. How do you get that kind of joy? Like I said two services ago, when I know that I'm glorifying God, it brings me joy because that's my purpose. You know what that means? That means I can actually be at the funeral home my loved one in the casket and have a joy way down deep inside. You say, I don't think that's possible. When I realize God's on the throne, He'll glorify Himself. All things work together for good. All things work together for good. And I realize God's going to glorify Himself no matter what. It brings me a joy that I can't explain, that I know God's working. You know, God's working on your worst day. God's still working. And that's where your joy comes from. That's where it comes from. Then the next one on there, love, joy. How are you doing so far? We ought to just call time out and go to the altar. Honestly, how many of us, our joy comes from that? We have the love of God in us. But then that next one, look, it's peace. There's the peace. Now, the night I got saved, I got peace with God. But there's a difference between the peace with God and the peace of God. The peace of God passes all understanding. And that's that characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit. You know what that peace comes from? That peace comes from a faith that I believe God's on the throne and God's in control. That brings me peace. Now, boy, and I tell you, our world can be turned upside down. Everything can be going, and you can feel like your mind's getting wrung out by a sponge. Satan's shooting fiery darts at you, and you're filled with angst and anxiety and all these stuff, tears rolling down your face, and you're a nervous wreck, and you feel like, I don't even know if God can hear my prayers. I don't know what's going on. I'm a mess. I don't even know if I'm saved. This is, and then you're driving yourself crazy, and then all of a sudden you realize, hey, God is still on the throne. That means He's still in control. And it brings a peace. Peace. There's a peace that passes all understanding. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you've never experienced it, there's nothing greater than peace in the midst of the storm. A lot of people chase peace, making their problems go away. Then they have peace. That's not peace. Peace is a calm in the middle of turmoil. That's peace. All right, so hey, let's go on down. There's nine characteristics. We've done three. Look at number four. Number four is purely long-suffering. Long-suffering, we should have that as God's people if God's in control. The Bible tells us that God's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Aren't you glad God's long-suffering? God's so long-suffering. You know the night? Listen, some of you say, well, the things I've done before I got saved, man, It's amazing. You know what shocks me? Is the night God saved me, He knew what I was going to do after I got saved. That's long suffering. He keeps on putting up with me. Every day He keeps putting up with me. Just because I walked in the night with a suit on don't mean I got it together. Just because you got a Bible in your lap don't mean you got it together. You're a mess and you know it. Now you don't want to tell anybody in church that because you walk in here and put your best on, but you're a mess. But long-suffering means even through the annoyance, even through the aggravation, even through whatever somebody puts me through, I'm long-suffering with them. Long-suffering is a patience that is supernatural. Only God's people can have that. Only God's people can have it because it comes from the Holy Spirit of God. Let's look at the next one. That's four. Number five is this. Those characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. The next one down there is gentleness. Gentleness truly means just kindness. Just kindness. Now, I'm going to give y'all a little feather in your cap here. This church got that. Amen. Y'all some nice people. Amen. Y'all are. You know, every night I leave here, Brother Rick, I think I'm somebody. I'm serious. These people, like y'all got the gift of encouragement. Y'all just nice. I mean, there's a couple already invited me next year to eat dinner at their house. That's not, no, you ain't. You wasn't invited. Listen, that's nice. That's just kind. You know, do you know it's a simple command? Be ye kind one to another. You may tell you, something to help a lot of churches. Don't complicate it. Just be kind one to another. You may tell you something that helps marriages. Just be kind to one to another. Just be nice. You just be kind. Do you know I can be on a job site? I'm a general contractor. And on the side, I build maybe four houses a year or whatever. Do you know I can be on a job site, and this guy's cell phone ring, and I can tell you if it's his wife. I don't know. If it's somebody at the supply house or somebody that says, hello, Hello, it's Brother Dwayne. Can I help you? It's his wife? Yeah. Am I right? Women, don't get supernatural. You're the same way. You know how it is. What? I don't know. Okay. Just hurry. Bang. Right? But then somebody else will call you. Hello. We lost just being kind, did we not? And we wonder, what's wrong with our marriage? What's wrong with our family? Well, usually we're so sharp and treat each other so bad, we've just lost the gift of kindness. You know, people like to be nice to. That's the reason I was excited to come back over here tonight. I was like, I want to get there a little early. Maybe they'll talk to me. They're just kind. You know, what's wrong with just being nice to one to another? Don't you agree? You know, you ought to keep that when you go in the grocery store. You ought to keep that when you go to McDonald's and you say, I want a double cheeseburger, no pickles. And they give you extra pickles. And then you send it back and they give it back and it's got more pickles. You better keep that kindness, hadn't you? Because if you're not careful, guess what? He may walk in your church. And then you really messed up. Or you never know, God may prick your heart the next time you go in there. He wants you to give him a track. Now you've made a mess out of yourself, have you not? Let's be kind one to another. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Where does that kindness come from? I'm not kind because I feel like I have to be. I'm not kind out of a rule. I'm kind because I feel the presence of the Lord. Amen. So here we go on down. So we look at the next characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit, and I hope you're doing good so far. Everybody said God was leading them. We should be dripping with this stuff. Should be no-brainers to us. Next thing is goodness. Goodness is closely related to gentleness, but the difference is goodness has the characteristic of generosity. Generosity. The Bible tells us, Peter said in his sermon in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, that Jesus went about doing good. Just doing good everywhere he went. That's generous. Don't you agree? I brag on Bible Way again. It's shocking to me that you give 35% of everything that comes in here to missions. That's generous. That's generous. And y'all have blessed our ministry in Mozambique and how, and that's generous. Those children giving us $2,800 Sunday morning, that's generous. Generous. You know, why do the minimum? Why not do the best? Aren't you glad God was generous to us? Matter of fact, He's been generous to me today. He's been really good to me today. This morning I woke up out of a nice, comfortable bed. Took a hot shower. Able to shave myself. Somebody else didn't have to do it for me. I was able to put my own shoes on. I had enough sanity to tie it. Hey, I had enough blessings to have a roof over my head. I walked out my door, got in the vehicle, spent time with my son. Got to tell my wife verbally, I love you. Got to hear her say in my ear, I love you back. And I went in the sink and I turned the spigot on and clean water came out. And I was able to brush my teeth. And I was able to pray as I was going down the road saying, thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and everything you've done. I was able to get in my car tonight and drive over here. And I was able to stop there in Irwin, Tennessee, and had enough money in my pocket to put gas in the tank. Blessed. Had a copy of the Bible when I walked in the back door. Able to see, able to read, comprehend what it says. Blessed. God's been generous. Very generous to me. You say, well, preacher, listen, that seems like the basics of life. Let them basics get turned off one time. Let you find yourself over at hospice. Let you find yourself in some assisted living. And your spouse don't even know your name. Let them feed you. Let them clean you one time. Let you do that for somebody else and you realize, hey, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Get on a plane with me in about 30 days and fly and touch down in Tete or Tremolo, the province in Mozambique. Get on that little Toyota pickup truck and drive back in there and meet a guy, meet a lady who's had malaria and can't even go to a hospital. There is no hospital to go to. Let their children be born and let them just lay around like animals, never teach them to read, never teach them to write, no school, no nothing. People getting down on their knees begging you for a Bible. And we've got bukus of them, even in our basements, in our coffee tables, and under our beds. And let people walk for miles and hours just to hear a preacher open the Bible and read John 3:16 and tell you about Jesus. That they're just blessed to hear the gospel. Let me tell you what God's been to us. Generous, generous, and generous. You know what we should be? Generous, generous, and generous. You say, but I'm tired of giving. I want somebody to give to me. Keep on giving. God will give it. And He'll take care of you. Amen? So the Bible tells us that the fruit of the Spirit, those characteristics start dripping off of. There's love, there's joy, there's peace. There's long-suffering, there's goodness, there's gentleness. And then you get on down there, and there's faith. That's faithfulness. That's being consistent. And so when we see that word faith comes up, just like I preached Sunday morning, that's the number one requirement. You know the reason I'm a bad gardener? Because I ain't got enough patience to deal with it. I plant that thing, and my wife will tell you, I'll go out there and keep checking it. Now that's stupid. Don't you agree? I go out there and check it and it ain't growing. I'll throw water on it and go back 2 days later. That ain't nothing happening. No faith. No consistency. Got to stick with it. That's the number one requirement. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. You know how you grow good fruit? You put that seed in the ground, and that faith, that consistency, that steadfastness, you keep tending to it and tending to it and tending to it. Then before long, a little tender plant comes up. And when that tender plant comes up, guess what it's getting ready to go through? Storms. Matter of fact, in the middle of the night, it's going to get dark. And that little tender plant's going to be sitting there in the dark all by itself. And then all of a sudden there's going to be a big thunderstorm come and heavy winds are going to come. And that little thing's going to be going back and forth and back and forth. And it's going to pour. The skies are going to open. Come one of them old-fashioned gully washers. And it's just going to pour on it. And it's got to just stay right there. It'll never bear fruit until it just stays through that storm. Then the next day the hot sun's going to come out. One of them 95-degree days. Humidity 200% just beating down on it. You know what it's got to do? It's got to stay right there. And sometimes it may have an owner like me not water it for a few days. And it's going to get dry and thirsty. Go through a little drought. But it's just got to stay. Because if it don't stay, it ain't going to bear any fruit. It's got to stay there. And that little plant just keeps on staying through the storms, through everything. Let me tell you something else I figured about tomato plants. Bugs get on them. And diseases get on them. But it's just got to stay right there. He can't say, ooh, bug, out of here. No, it's got to stay right there. The plant's staying. And it goes through all the bugs and all the famines, all the diseases and all the storms and everything. And it's just stayed and stayed and stayed. And brother, Vinoy, a while ago you recognized these men. You was bragging on his men. And what did you say? They've stood. They stayed. They stayed. They stayed. And when you keep on staying and keep on staying, wow. Fruit.
Yeah.
Fruit.
Yeah.
You know how that got there? Man, look at that. You know how that got there? He went through some storms. He went through some hot, dry days. These bugs crawled on that. It's went through high winds. It's went through some pain. But the only way it ever got here was it had to stay. Just be faithful. There's something to be said for a man and woman that'll stand through the storms.
Amen.
And stay through the storms.
Yeah.
Our churches are full of in and outers.
You're right.
And I'm sure Tennessee's just like where I live in Asheville, North Carolina. Our homes up and down these streets are full of quitters. They once served God. They used to do this. They used to do that. But somebody done this. But this happened. But that happened. But that happened. You won't find me one person in the Bible that ever did anything for God that didn't go through a major storm.
Amen.
Major storm. And Satan will give you everything he can to make you lay it down and walk away. Everything he can, he'll give it to you. You say, some people, it's what they've done to themselves. They failed. I can't face the church. I'm too guilty. I'm too ashamed. What will people think? Look at Peter. He was ashamed, but yet he stayed. He stayed. Elijah stayed, even though he got backed up by Ahab and Jezebel and got under that juniper tree, went through depression. But ultimately, when it all settled, he was out there. Stayed the stuff. And on and on and on we could go. People stayed. You know what I am tonight? I'm a result of somebody sticking with the stuff.
Amen.
The only way you'll ever be this is be faithful. Be faithful. Don't be like me. Don't plan it and say, well, it's not, nothing's happening, and just move on. Stay with it. By faith, trust God. Do you see that difference? See, every one of these characteristics you can label back. Exactly what the Bible tells us. It's fruit. And by the way, for all you country people, that's a fruit. Amen? That's a fruit. Tomato is a fruit. The fruit of the Spirit has characteristics. Amen? And so, it got to be faithful. Let's look at these next two right fast. Let me show you this. Look at this next one right here. So, it goes gentleness, goodness, faith, then meekness. You know what meekness is? Meekness is the opposite of pride. Meekness is the opposite of pride. You know what's not going to be in heaven? Pride. Isn't it going to be wonderful that nobody's going to say, me? There won't be one person in heaven that'll say, I'll tell you how I got here. Not one. Not one. There is no pride. You know one thing I've enjoyed about being here? It's about everybody, it seems like, if this group sings and somebody else sung this past Sunday, they're supporting them. No competition. No competition. If somebody else sings better than you, hallelujah. If somebody else preaches better than me, hallelujah. If somebody else drives up in a nicer truck than you drive up in, hallelujah. Why are we so full of pride? Do you realize pride's the reason we're in the mess we're in? It's pride. And matter of fact, if you have no meekness and you have pride, guess who's back on the throne?
Right.
Me. I'm back on the throne. But when meekness is there, you know what meekness is? Meekness is actually strength under control. Jesus was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, yet he was meek. He was meek. He had all the power and all the control in the world, but yet he was not full of pride. He said, I've come to be about my Father's business. The Holy Spirit is not even about himself. He says, don't look at me, look to Christ. We need to get the spirit of meekness back. And it's when the spirit of meekness comes back, you say, but I just like to be appreciated. Everybody likes to be appreciated. Everybody likes to be appreciated. But eventually all glory goes to the Lord. And eventually, even if you don't appreciate me, I firmly believe in my heart that God does. So there's where my spirit of meekness comes from. Let me tell you what I've never experienced walking in a garden. No matter how many big old tomatoes you come out of a garden. And I've seen all kinds of them. I've never seen this. I didn't grow these either. There's a guy that used to sing at the church I pastored. He calls me up sometimes and says, Pastor, I got you some tomatoes. Where do you want me to meet you? So I'm glad to eat off his fruit. But you know what I've never seen? I've never walked by a garden and just enjoying that, and the tomato go, look at me! Look at me! That's never happened. You know why? Because the fruit just... There it is. There it is. You mean to tell me what everybody does to fruit? They admire it. They admire it. Everybody walks up to them tomatoes, man, look how red. Them sound good. Tastes pretty good. Smell pretty good. I say them's good tomatoes. Tomato didn't have to do one thing to draw attention to itself. There it is. It's the result of just abiding. It's the result. And therefore, it's meek. It's meek, but yet it's desirable. Let me give you the last one, and then I'll give you the benefit. The last characteristic is this. It's temperance. Temperance, for all you country boys, is just simple self-control. It's self-control. You want to blow? Listen, remember we said being led by the Spirit, be controlled by the Spirit, means He's leading and He's guiding continually. You want to blow it? Lose control one time. And by the way, Satan's trying to put us under the pressure cooker.
Yeah.
Now, he's always turning up the pressure and increasing it, increasing it, increasing it, because he just needs you to blow one time.
Yeah.
Just one time blow. Give me 15 seconds and you lose control. I've got it from there. Yeah. And boy, we make a mess, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, since I've been saved, I used to coach ball games. I was a football coach, baseball coach, basketball coach. I used to pray with those kids before every game. I used to give them the gospel. I had several of those kids receive the Lord.
Amen.
And I used to pray with them, and I used to tell them that we need to keep our priorities in order. It's God first, and you be good to your family, and ball is not most important. And you know what? I used to try to be a good influence to them, and I'd pick them up if they didn't have a good parent situation and invested in them.
Yeah.
You know, I even had one of them pass away here a couple years ago, and his parents even called me to come preach his funeral. Never even walked in the doors of a church, best I know of. But and God blessed me with great opportunities. How many of you sports fan? Raise your hand. Guess what happened to me one night? I was coaching a basketball game, 9 and 10 year old kids. I was coaching a basketball game, and the referee didn't have a clue what was going on. Any of you ever see a game like that? Well, he didn't have a clue what was going on. I stood up. And I said, "You don't know where you're at." And he went, boom. Give me a technical. And I said, "Well, you don't." And he gave me another one. So I'm like, all right, you know, I'm not. So I turn around with my little kids here, and I'm just filled with the Spirit, you can tell. And I turn around with my kids, and I'm talking to them. And next thing I know, a guy comes over to me, taps me on the shoulder, and says, "Keith, you got to leave the gym. 2 technicals, you're gone." You talk about your pride going gone. You talk about the little birdie quit singing. Here I got to go in front of all these people that I profess I'm this great Christian. Moms, dads, kids. I can't control myself enough. I got to leave the gym. You know all it took? About 10 seconds. Without my control, done. You listen to me. At your job, at your church, at your home, everywhere you go, Satan's wanting to turn the pressure upon you. Turn the pressure upon you. Turn the pressure upon you. And when you start finding that losing control and that temperance is gone and that self-control is gone, you can't tell me God's in control. You may show you the control of the Holy Spirit. Look to the cross. And look at Jesus. As he hangs there. And they laugh at him. And they spit on him. And they pull his beard. And they say, "If you're God, then come on down." And they continue to mock him. Continue to mock him. Continue to make fun of him. And he looks around. And his family's gone. His friends are gone. His disciples are gone. Where's Bartimaeus at? Where's all these people at? Where's Lazarus at? Where's all of them at? They've abandoned him. You know, all he had to do was just 1 second of lose control. He could have fried that whole bunch in 1 second.
Yeah. That's right.
But he stayed in control.
Yeah.
It takes a mighty man to control his spirit. It takes a mighty woman to control your spirit. But that's being led by the Spirit of God. That's what it's called, temperance. He is in control. Do you see that? That's the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm going to show you this, and I'm done. Those characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, after he lists them, then he goes to verse 25, and he says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit." Two things about fruit is this. Number one, it's very desirable. It's very desirable. I guarantee you that everybody in here tonight, you've got some kind of fruit that you love. Whether it's a strawberry, a watermelon, blackberry, cantaloupe, tomato, orange, lemon, there's something you love. Fruit is desirable. You mean to tell you what's going on in our churches now? The world don't want what we have. We're not very desirable. We're not desirable. When we start having that and the fruit starts coming out, they'll want what we have. They'll want it. Hey, Mom, I want to ask you something. Do your kids want what you got? Dad, do your children want what you have? Do your co-workers want what you have? Or do they see you as religious? Or they see you kind of like them? The only difference is you carry a Bible and say you believe something. They should want what you have. Fruit is desirable. It's desirable. But when I look at that tomato, I want it. It's desirable. Don't you agree? Ain't nothing like springtime and they put them big red strawberries out there and they put them little dessert cups beside them. Done deal, baby. Desirable, is it not? Want it. I wonder tonight, what's wrong with us? I think I know. We're in control. We're in control. And we're making a mess out of it. And we need to go back to exactly what Pastor said last night. Starts with repentance. God, the root of the problem is I'm in control and not you. Let me say the second thing about it. Not only is fruit desirable, fruit's profitable. It's profitable. You know, you can make everything, all kinds of things out of fruit. And it'll keep you alive. It'll keep you sustained. I'd go to Africa and live off fruit. It's profitable. If we was to be a spirit-filled people, don't you think we might be able to lead some people to the Lord?
Amen.
Don't you think there might be some souls get saved? Don't you think there might be some marriages get healed? Don't you think there might be some relationships and families get fixed? If you put those nine characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit in any home or relationship, things are going to get better. They're going to get better. It's profitable. But not only that, it ain't only profitable for people, but it pleases God. Let me tell you what God does. He walks by and he sees that.
Sweet savor.
Well pleasing. Well pleasing. I love the smell of a good old fresh watermelon. I love the smell of a strawberry. I love the smell of a tomato. Smell of an orange. Smell of a cantaloupe. You know what that is? Sweet, sweet, sweet.
Yeah.
Imagine if God looked at us tonight and said, they're just sweet.
Yeah.
Just sweet.
Amen.
Well pleasing to a holy God.
Yeah.
You know what that is? That means God's leading and God's in control.
Yes.
Let's all stand and bow our heads. Amen. By faith, I believe I will let you lead.
Amen.
By faith, I believe I let God lead. As our musicians come, I've already told you, the answer's not in a quick trip to the altar. But it'd be a good place to start. Be a good place to start with just a simple place of, Lord, I realize tonight when I look in the mirror that I'm not quite as in control as I thought I was. Or I'm more in control than I thought I was. You're not as in control as I thought you were. As he starts playing with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. By the way, you can't be filled with the Spirit until you're indwelled with the Spirit. Tonight, if you've never been saved, you can't live it. It's impossible for you to live it because you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit living inside you to live it. It's impossible. It's impossible. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, come to Christ. The Holy Spirit moves in on the inside. But tonight, if you're here and you've been saved, Wouldn't it be a good time to find yourself a place in this altar and say, all right, God, tonight I surrender. Now you're going to have to surrender again tomorrow and the next day and the next day. But why not start with, all right, Lord, I'm tired of running my own life. I'm tired of not having these things. I want the joy and the peace. I want the love and the faithfulness. I want those things. And I need you to do this. I can't do it on my own. But God, tonight, I wave the white flag. I surrender. I surrender. I want you to control. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want it to be, there's people